Welcome to another episode of A Prophetic Moment. If you'd like to contact us, you can write to us at Church on Fire International Ministries, P.O. Box 754, Conyers, Georgia 30012, or email us at churchonfire86@gmail.com. We're so excited to be here one more time to begin to just share with us, say the Lord. I have my lovely wife here with me, Pastor Mamie Allen. Amen. We've been married, amen, 35 years. Praise the Lord. And God is really, amen, has blessed us, amen, to come and just share our experiences with you, amen, over this podcast. And we just hope it'd be a blessing to you. And we share the word of the Lord. We're just going to have a conversation. We try not to preach to you. Amen. But we're just going to have a conversation in what God is doing. And the topic that we're going to talk about is the manifestations of the sons of God. The manifestations of the sons of God. And I'm going to just define the word manifestation. Amen. It means an act of showing or displaying. So therefore, God, amen, is showing forth his power through his children. Hallelujah. God is displaying his power, amen, on this earth through us. And I'm going to read Romans 8 and 19 from the Amplified. Says, but even the whole creation, all nature, wait expectation and longs earnestly for the sons of God to be known. Wait for the revealing, the closing of their sonship. So we see here, it's clearly, it is saying that the whole nature, the whole earth, amen, is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. The world is waiting for us to come forth to take our place in destiny, in our purpose and destiny that we was created on this earth, and to finish the work that Jesus started. Otherwise, they will continue to be in bondage, the world be in bondage to corruption and suffering. So we're going to talk about the sons of God. Who are these sons of God? The sons of God. The sons of God is those, the saints, that allow themselves to be matured through the process of time, and through world events and through world things that they have gone through with. So we see here. So we're gonna break this down a little bit. Amen. Romans 8 and 19 says, but even the whole creation, all the nature waits expectancy and longs earnestly for the sons of God to be known. Amen. So we see that God is raising up some people. God always had a remnant.
Yeah.
God always had a remnant of people that he had, amen, that would stand. The Bible said, except he left a small remnant, we'd be like Sodom, and we'd be like Gomorrah. So we see here that God always had a remnant of people, amen, that was willing to sell all the way out. And that's what God is saying to us today, I believe, amen, that God is wanting of people, saints of God, to be willing to sell completely out. And we're going to talk about that. Amen. The one thing that I'm going to talk about is the process. Some of you went through a process and you didn't know why you was going through it, why you had to go through what you went through with. Some of the process was devastating. Some of our process, we didn't understand why we had to go through what we're going through. But sometimes God will allow us to go through a process to make us and to mold us into the character of Jesus Christ. So we see here, you know, sometimes we have gone through things that we didn't understand. And we look back on our life, and except the Lord reveal it to us, we will be in confusion. But I thank God, amen, that for men and women of God that know how to explain the hard places that you have gone through with, and we find out what the enemy meant for evil, God would make for good. So we're excited, amen, what God's done. I can look back on my life and begin to thank God for every trial, every tribulation, all the persecution, every the hard place I went through. Amen. Like something that we always say, the oil is poured in broken places, that God used broken vessels. See, sometimes God want to break our flesh. Because if he don't break us, we'll never be made and molded by God. And that we have to go through a brokenness. Mm-hmm. Amen. A broke place. Amen. A brokenness. Amen. That God can mold and make us into his image. Some things we have to give up. Some things we don't give up on our own. But sometimes we be too whole. Sometimes we hold things too close and too dear to our hearts. And we serve a God that he won't have no other God before him. That he don't want us to put nothing before him.
Yes.
So therefore, God take us through a process of brokenness that we will yield ourselves totally to the Lord. And that's what God want to do. Amen. That God want all of us.
Yes.
Amen. Our body, our soul, and our spirit. God want all of you. That we can't have, we can't put nothing before him. Our husband, our wife, our children, nothing. Our stuff, our cars, our houses, nothing. We can't put before God. That God want everything. I remind him, just like Abraham. Abraham, the Bible said that God told Abraham to go up to the mountain and sacrifice his son Isaac. And so we see that the key is this, the revelation is this, that God really didn't want to kill Isaac. He wanted to kill Abraham. He wanted him to die to his flesh. He wanted to die, amen, to his Isaac. That he loved Isaac so much that God wanted to test him to see, was he willing to sacrifice him? That Abraham had been willing to give it up, the thing that very close to him. And that's what God is saying, that God want all of us, that we can't have nothing dear to our heart but him.
Yes.
God looking for a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and accepted unto God, which is our reasonable service. That God is looking for a sacrifice. One singer, I believe, Toxic Cobbs wrote, he said, Lord, if you provide the fire, I provide the sacrifice.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We have to become that sacrifice.
Amen. We have become that sacrifice. And that's a process.
Yes.
You know, that's a process. You just become a sacrifice. You got to be willing to get in the fire. Get on the fire and stay on the fire. Stay in the fire.
Sometimes God allows the fiery trials to come. Sometimes you're not going to get in there.
Wow.
Unless he bring those fiery trials sometimes to, you know, burn up that stuff that's on the inside of us. We can become more like him, more pliable, you know, and become vessels of honor.
Amen.
For his use.
Amen. So that's why God used the fire. He wanna
purify.
He wanna purify us.
Yes, it purifies, mm-hmm. It cleans.
Mm-hmm. So what you say, sometimes, we as Christians, we supposed to live a holy life and soul our life to the Lord. But
a process too.
That's a process. You're just not going to go from 0 to 100 when it comes to holiness.
No, God don't do things like that. It's a little here, it's a little there.
Mm-hmm. Live here and live there. So we see here that it's a process, that God is want to do some things in our lives. And all the patriarchs in the Bible, they had to go through a process.
Yes.
A process of dying. Paul said, I die daily.
Yeah, you must.
Mm-hmm. So we have to learn what it means to die daily. Well, he's talking about we got to die to the cares of this world.
Not selfish desires and ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to come to a place where mm-hmm. it's not about us and what's about him. And what he wants for our life. We have to come to that place, the Lord, not my will, but your perfect will be done in my life. We come to the place maturity says, Lord, I want what you want.
My,
that's what maturity says. You you're talking about sons of God being manifest in the earth, you come to that place of maturity where it's no longer you, but it's Christ that lives on the inside of you. Where you say, Lord, I want all of you. Show me. I want to see through your eyes. I want to think like you think. I want to see what you see.
Yes.
I want to hear what you hear. That's what maturity says.
Wow. Yeah, putting away our own selfish ambitions.
Yes.
And it's also giving everything to the Lord. And we was talking about gifted people, people with giftings and callings. And the order for us to stay humble, that we got to continue to lay our gifts, our callings, our talents at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
And we got to keep giving it up. Give it up to the Lord. That's how to keep pride out of your life, arrogance out of your life. So we have to, it's a process.
It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing.
It's a day, every day. Every day that we got to die to this flesh in the world. And we the Bible talk about that. Love not the world. That God want to take us through a process. That we will love him with all of our heart, all our soul, and all our might. That God wanted all. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. And that's a process. It's a process. It's a process of growing. We're talking about the sons of God. Now.
Yeah, going up to the stature.
Mm-hmm. And the fullness. Mm-hmm. The stature. This is another level.
Yes.
This is another level of your Christianity. You know, there's a lot of people just going to believe and make it into the kingdom. But it's those that have a hunger and thirst for righteousness.
They want more.
Mm-hmm. They want more and they want to go further.
And beyond.
And beyond. Now, this is for those who want to go further and beyond. There's a new level that God is calling us to. There's a new level.
Yeah, even of sacrificing now. A new level, you know, of our sacrificing even more to him than what we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more of a sacrifice of ourself. Of our own self to get into his presence more. You know, get in his word more.
Yes.
Worship more. You know, instead of, because he don't want us to be, it's easy to get conformed to this world, the time that we're living in. The flesh is so easy to get relaxed in the times we're living in. It don't take much. Like it did 20, 25 years ago. The times we're living in now, in the era and decade we're living in, it don't take much for you to get comfortable in your flesh. So therefore, we got to keep ourselves stirred up.
Stirred up.
Stirred up.
Yes.
In the spirit. Stirring up my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So that is standard equipment there.
Standard.
Yes. That's standard. That's what God requires of us, that we worship him and we praise him, and we do all our reverential duties unto him.
Yes.
Out of a pure heart. We come to God, we come to him thanking him for what he has done and worshiping for who he is.
Yes.
So we got to keep that mind of worship like never before in the times we're living in, because the devil always going about trying to bring distractions, trying to withdraw, trying to draw us out of the presence.
Wow.
Don't want us to get into the presence. So we got to know how to overcome distractions that comes to try to detour us or come to try to frustrate us. That's the time we have to cast down all those things.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we just got to keep on the whole arm of God.
Whole arm of God.
We might be able to withstand all these trickery of the devil.
Yes.
And stuff. So that's the time we're living in, that God is calling us to grow up. You're going to church to grow up into his stature, the full stature of Jesus Christ. For we won't be more like children tossed to and fro with every sign of doctrine and the slating the cunningness of men. Mm-hmm. So he wants our senses of discernment to become sharper like never before, for we can see deep into the situation. Mm-hmm. We can know what the enemy trying to do.
Right.
And know how to stop him by the power and authority of God. He said, behold, I give you power or authority over all the power of the enemy.
All the power.
And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he has given us that delegated the power, and that is Zeusia.
Mm-hmm.
Power over the enemy. And we are nothing without the Holy Spirit. We're so we can't do this on our own. But with the help of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us,
yes,
we can do this. Like I said, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us.
Yes.
But the power is not of us, but is of Him.
Of Him.
Of Him. Mm-hmm. So it's not our power, it's His power working in us and through us.
Amen. And you know, as you was talking, one of the things that came to me concerning just like God is love, He wants us to love.
Yes.
We got to know what it is. See, sons of God or mature ones, they know what it is to love their neighbor.
Yes.
And they love themselves or love those that hate them or spitefully use them. That we have to have that agape love.
Yes.
That unconditional love. And that's what the process was about too. Mm-hmm. That we begin to love the way that Jesus loved us.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we as Christians have to learn how to do is love one another.
Yes. And the love is already in there. When you became mm-hmm. born again,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit already had shed His love abroad in our hearts already. We the one got to activate that love. We the one got to mm-hmm. got to exercise it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to exercise it.
Yes.
Because it's already there. God has given us, when we became born again, He gave us everything we needed. We mm-hmm. already came with everything, with every component.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is we have to learn how to operate every component. And it's by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher.
Yes.
And He teaches us how to use our weapons,
mm-hmm.
weapons of our warfare,
and
the gifts of the Spirit. He teaches us how to use these things.
Amen.
So we have to put these things in us. It's like a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Computer, you know, it's already ready to go. But we have to learn how to use the computer. First, you got to turn it on. You know, then you get somebody to teach you, or you self-teach your own self. You read the manual. You got to have a manual. And the Bible is our manual. It shows us how to live.
That's right.
It shows us. It gives us instructions.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit there to help us carry out.
Right.
Those things that are written in the Word of God.
Amen. And we was talking about that. We were talking about we have to live a life that pleasing to God. Well,
yes.
If you want to become a son of God and be used by God in a great way, you got to have these attributes of God in you.
Yes.
When it comes to righteousness and love and all that kind of stuff, you got to allow yourself to flow into that vein. We got to be like Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Jesus even loved His enemies.
Yes.
Even the one that came against Him, He prayed for them. They prayed for Him. He said, "For Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." So we got to have the attributes on the inside of us so the power of God can flow through us and in us, that we might become the sons of God.
Yes. And as Scripture say, those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God.
Yep.
So that's a big thing right there. Are we led by His Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be led by His Spirit to become a son or a daughter.
Yes, and that's Romans 8:14-18. I'm going to read that passage. It said, "For many are led by the Spirit, there are the sons of God. For if you have not received the Spirit abundantly again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father." Amen. So we that are sons of God, and we know that God is our Father, that we don't have to fear nothing.
Some never get to sonship.
Mm.
Some choose to stay on the level of just being children.
Just being children.
They're told everything to do, but they don't become leaders where they can lead.
Mm-hmm. And also it come in bondage when we don't step into the fullness of God. It's bondage there because you're not walking into freedom and liberty.
Well, sometimes fear If you allow fear, fear can stop you from walking into purpose and your destiny.
That's right. He said, but we have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father.
Yes.
So therefore, when we come to the knowledge and the consciousness of and awareness that God is our Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Ain't nothing that he will hold back from you.
And that's through relationship.
It's through relationship. It's through spending time with him.
Hmm? Yes.
Amen. So we see. So we see that when we come in sonship, we realize that God is our Father.
Yes, the relationship. It's just like a natural relationship. I can say that's my Father, but if I don't have no relationship with him, you know, it's just a title.
Just a title. You don't receive no benefits. Nothing. All you say, that's my daddy. But when you in relationship, it ain't nothing that your Father hold back from you. And you don't have to fear. Because the God that we serve is greater than all the power of the enemy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He'll fight your battles. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise in judgment shall be condemned. So when you move into sonship, there's an assurance that comes over you. A confidence that will come over you. That you realize that you are untouchable and you are unmovable in God. But that's all because you allow yourself to go through a process. That's where it starts, the process.
Well, you know the power is from him.
Mm-hmm.
That you must, your trust must be in him.
In him.
And not in your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But in his ability. Because you, true humility is knowing that you can do nothing without God.
Right.
Because when we start doing things apart from him, that's when the enemy, you give the enemy access to your life. So that's what happened with Adam and Eve. When they separated, she was over this place, he was over there. So the enemy was able to communicate with them apart.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about it is, don't let the enemy separate you. Let him separate for one another.
Yeah.
That's how he can conquer and divide and conquer. You know, if we as a body of Christ stay in unity and stay as one, the enemy cannot. He has no hold.
No hold.
He has no power. You know, he really don't have no power over God's children.
That's right.
It's what we
allow.
Give unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to open the door. And when we open the door to that, you know, we have given him permission to come in and touch us.
That's right.
Because we open the door to him, sometimes through ignorance and sometimes through our sins. We open the door to the devil. You know, we can, and so that gives him access into our life. We can take ground, you know, in our lives because you're giving him that legal right.
That's right. And one thing that we have discovered through God's word and through life experiences that the enemy, the devil, can't make you do nothing.
No.
Because Jesus already spoiled the principality.
Yes.
Jesus already defeated him, and now he gave us power over him.
Yes.
The only thing the enemy could do, he can't even put thoughts in your mind. Is that right?
Yes, it's just suggestions.
The only thing you do, he put suggestions. That's why it comes to another point where, as sons of God, we have to be careful of the people we be around and the things we watch and things that the music that we listen to. Because the enemy, the God of this world, be putting suggestions in our thoughts, in our minds, you know. It'd be suggestion. He don't put them in your mind, but he just suggests.
You have to open up your mind to it.
Mm-hmm. It's what you allow.
And come in agreement with whatever he's saying.
That's right. So that comes to another point. Sons of God don't come in agreement with darkness.
No. We cast down those things.
We cast down them. What? Just imagination?
Yeah, every high thing.
The high thing that want to exhort itself for knowledge of God and bring it under captivity.
The obedience
of Christ. So we got power. We got power. Total victory over the enemy.
Yes. And we have to exercise that.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Every day. And sons of God, we are sons of God. We know the power and authority that is in him.
Right.
Not in us.
We have in him, right.
Like the scripture says, he said, we have this treasure in the earthen vessels that the excellent the power be of God and not of us.
Yes.
Amen. That we have a treasure on the inside of us. That not is not of us, but is God. You know, like you said before, true humility is recognizing that you can't do nothing without Him.
Yes.
We live in a society now that is very gifted, talented, and sometimes if we're not careful, we put our gifts before God.
Yes.
That we got to learn how to give our gifts to God.
Yes.
Amen. A lot of people operating out of gift and not the Spirit.
But a lot of not operate out of fruit, because God is more concerned about the fruit than the gift.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of the Spirit.
That's
love,
right.
Joy, gentleness, temperance, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what He's more concerned about us, about developing those fruits.
Those fruit. So you know what, Pastor Man, this is what I see. When we begin to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, God, He would gravitate to us. We get God's attention when we start operating in love, peace,
right.
Joy, long suffering. It got God's attention. And God be drawn to us, and God will begin to use you. God begin to flow through you. God usually looking for yielded vessels. God looking for people that look like Him. And those are the attributes of God. Amen. Those are what we call the more attributes. That God is love.
Yes. And that, well, everything's supposed to be operated. Love operated, faith operated by love.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not operating in love, your faith not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So faith working by love.
Amen.
And operate in the gifts. You must operate in love and faith. So they go together.
That's right.
You see a lot of people operating in gifts, but they're not operating in that love.
Wow.
We got to get the heart of the Father. When we get the heart of the Father, we can feel what He feels. And see what He sees and hear what He hears when we get His heart. So we need the heart of the Father, even when we're giving a word to anyone. We need to feel His heart. What is He saying about that person? What is on His heart concerning that person? Not what our flesh is sensing. We have to keep our flesh out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to allow the love of God to flow through us.
Yes.
Through the prophetic and through our gifting, that we be able to reach people.
Reach.
That's what's important. We got to reach them. A lot of people not being reached because a lot of time the gifts are not operated by love.
Amen. So everything flow out of love. So God is love.
Yes.
And sometimes, and that's how God is. He looked past our fault and saw our needs. And we begin to operate in love, even with our gifts. God just wants us to look past the dirt and see the gold in people.
Right.
It's easy to see the negative stuff. Right. I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's very easy to see negative or something wrong with somebody. But it takes the love of God, amen, to look past people's fault and see their need.
And it takes maturity. Now, this is where maturity comes into place.
Mm-hmm.
That you can see the negative, but you know how to turn around the negative for the positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's maturity.
Turn it around.
That you, I see that you in this situation. This is wrong with you or whatever. But I see what God is wanting to do too. So I'm going to speak what God says about you. That God said He sees you wonderfully, that He loves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He accepts you, even though you might not feel accepted. Because you're walking through a hard place or whatever. But God said, this is, if you can see yourself how God sees you, you know, it makes a difference.
Amen.
If you can get people to see, that's where the heart of God comes in, making people see themselves the way God sees you.
Amen. Amen. That's right. So that's awesome. So we got to be like Him.
Yes.
We need that agape love.
Yes.
That unconditional love.
Right.
In spite of.
Right.
Yeah, in spite of people's faults, in spite of their imperfections. That's how God sees us. That's what sons of God do. They look past people, and they have the power to speak things.
Into the person's life, you see things are broken.
Yes.
They are broken.
They're broken.
And the person's and that person begins to break.
Amen. Praise God. That's good. So that's what it's all about, because God knows.
Yes.
God knows your past. God knows where you come from more than anybody. So we just, and that's what the gifts of the Spirit is about. That we can look, you know, into your life, mm-hmm. and the way that God sees you.
Yes.
Not your mistakes, not your shortcomings, mm-hmm. not your insecurities, but the way that God sees you and speak it for.
Yes.
So we're excited. Eh? So we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about how the world is waiting for the saints to shift from being children to full-grown sons and daughters. So what that means, that we have to grow up. That God is wanting us to continue to grow. We got to leave, like Paul said. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put them away. That at some point in our lives, we got to put everything that don't glorify God away. That's if you want to go to that next level. We got to put it all away. And the way that you find out what's in you, just draw close to God. He said, you draw nigh to me, I would draw nigh to you, or close to you. So I found out the closer you get to God, more that he will reveal about yourself.
Yes.
And then when he reveal it to you, don't be in denial. Just give it to the Lord. Like he said, cast all your cares into the Lord, for he cares. Because sometimes things be in us. God want to go deep in your heart. The Bible said the deep call into the deep. God want to search the deep place of your heart.
Yes.
Because sometimes there be some things there that we don't realize it until God show us.
Right.
You know, if it ain't no but attitude. You know, and then you know we use that thing saying, well, that's the way I am. God will show you where you are and the way that you need to change. So therefore, we have to continue to allow God to mature us.
Yes.
From the Bible said we are being changed from glory to glory.
Faith to faith.
And faith to faith. And then another thing that's came to me to continue growing the things of God, you must hang around mature Christians. People that are mature, people that can speak into your life,
right.
People that pray for you, people that will correct you without you getting upset. You know, because sometimes the flesh, it hurts. It hurts the flesh.
Yeah.
But sometimes the flesh need to die, need to be killed. I know. Amen.
That's why we have to keep pride of our life when we don't think that we all of that. We mm-hmm. have to keep ourselves in a position where we can be corrected.
Can be corrected. That's right.
Because we all miss it. Sometimes we all can be sincerely wrong and think we're right. Unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us that you are not right.
Yeah.
That we can be sincerely wrong.
Yeah, that's why we got to come to God like an open sepulchre.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We got to live a consecrated life for God. Say, Lord, here it is.
Totally committed to him.
And we can't be in denial.
Right, that's the key.
You know, denial, you know. It's a spirit of denial, too, that try to keep you from receiving the truth.
But the thing about it is, if you practice being honest with yourself, you can be honest with God. That's the key. Stay honest with yourself and you stay honest with God, because when you keep get that relationship like that, you get a soul tie with him. But no matter how you try to worm yourself out of that, there's a mirror that mm-hmm. shows you yourself.
Wow.
It's a mirror. But the Bible talks about that mirror, you know, that show yourself. But it's all about getting a soul tie with God. And it's through interrelationship with him, through your worship, through your praise, through prayer, where you know you live a transparent life. If you're wrong, you admit you're wrong. You gotta be big enough. That's what being mature about, being big enough to admit that I'm wrong, being big enough to admit that I missed it,
mm-hmm.
and not justifying yourself. See, that's another thing too that children do. We justify themselves. But as you become mature, there's no room for that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm wrong. I repent.
Yes.
And then you go on to the next level. We're not going to stay there and waddle in this thing.
Amen.
We're going to, I was wrong. Forgive me. whatever, you know, we get it right. Let's go to the next level. Let's not keep talking about the same thing. That's not maturity. Mm-hmm. That's children.
Yes.
Maturity is, hey, we already solve this conflict, mm-hmm, we had. So let us go to the next level. Yeah. Let us not stay there on that. Because maturity is not, you're not concerned no more who is right or wrong. That's what maturity is all about. Children, you know, is concerned about who right, who was right, who was wrong. When you start maturing, it don't matter who was right or wrong.
That's right.
It does not matter anymore who was right or wrong. Because, you know, you understand, you know, that now than you did when you was younger, right, when you was a child, mm-hmm, and stuff. So you go on to the next level. And you start having that kind of mentality that, you know, we get any conflicts fixed or whatever, let's go to the next level. Mm-hmm. Let us not let this make us become an enemy.
Yes.
Let us stay in unity and stuff. And that's you. And that's really a strong weapon against the enemy, is unity.
Yes.
We can stay unified. Even though we might agree with this here, we might have had a disagreement about it, but still we can disagree to agree. That's what maturity is about, disagree to agree. Where we're not, you know, carrying our feelings on our shoulders. Mm-hmm. That we don't have a chip on our shoulders, that we can admit we was wrong, even though it might not have felt good or whatever. But maturity said it might not feel good, but eventually going to work out for my good. That's maturity. Mm-hmm. That's how mature people talk. People that you are still children, you want to come back, because we want the self-pity. We all, mm-hmm, been there growing up in God.
Yes.
From children, but to sonship.
Mm-hmm.
We start getting to sonship, whatever, it don't matter anymore.
Yes.
About that kind of, it's petty. It's very petty, you know. It doesn't matter. As long as let us get this thing together, brother. Let's get this thing, sister. You know, if we can go on to the next level. Let us not allow the enemy to divide us. Because if he can divide, he can conquer.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy always take the little petty stuff, because the Bible says it's a little faucet that spoils the vine. He don't deal with nothing that's really big. He deal with petty stuff, mm-hmm, stuff that's going to irritate you.
That's right.
That's what he deals with, that little tiny, mm-hmm, stuff that's going to irritate you. So we have to recognize the enemy even in the irritations and the frustrations, that we don't allow him to do that to us.
Right.
You know, and then as we mature, that stuff don't matter anymore anyway, because we recognize that, hey, you're not going to steal my joy today. That's what mature Christians going to say. You're not going to steal my joy because I recognize you.
That's right.
And you're not going to steal my joy. You're not going to steal my peace today. Mm-hmm. See, when we're growing as real children, we don't recognize the enemy stealing our peace and he's stealing our joy.
Mm-hmm. We fall right into it.
And we don't know where it's coming from, because we can't call it for what it is.
That's right.
That's why we don't know how to define it.
That's right.
But as you mature, mature and become sons, you know how to define the thing now. You know where it's coming from. And you know how to handle it.
You know, and that's absolutely right, because also, when you are maturing, some things you fall into.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes, you know.
Honestly.
But what I mean by that, even in an argument, how right, the enemy always, or a person, mm-hmm, always trying to pull you into something.
Right.
See, when you are mature, you begin to recognize that.
Yes, you recognize.
You recognize what the enemy is trying to do, trying right, to pull you into an argument or pull you into, mm-hmm, a fight. But when you just growing, sometimes you do fall into different traps.
Because you don't recognize it.
That's recognize.
That's the key. You got to recognize, mm-hmm, the enemy. Because the enemy comes very subtle, too.
Very subtle.
Very subtle.
Yeah.
But as you mature in God, you can recognize even the way he's coming, whether it's subtle or not.
That's right.
Your discernment is more, yeah, sharper.
And then your discernment gets so sharp, you'll see it for a come.
Right.
You already know what's about to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I've been there, done that, you know. And as I begin to mature even more, I could see the enemy, amen, before he gets started. I could see the smoke before it become a fire.
Right.
And you'll be able to deter it,
Before it become a fire.
Mm-hmm. De-escalate it.
Right.
Before it become a fire. So God is raising up some people. God is raising up in this end time sons of God, Christians and saints that know who they are and whose they are in Christ.
Amen.
And another thing we're going to talk about concerning sons of God. Today we look at the church and we're looking at saints today, and most people in church goers, they have a identity crisis. Mm-hmm. What you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. Sometimes people don't know who they are.
Yes.
And they don't know who God is to them.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, so we see that, you know, it because of people never engage into their spiritual walk. We had a lot of churchgoers.
Right.
You know, even before the pandemic, people just went to church on Sunday morning, or some people just went on the holidays. But they never participated. They never committed.
Right.
Became committed. They was Christians, but they never committed full into the Lord in servanthood.
Right.
And that's the key right there, servanthood. Before you become a great leader, you got to learn how to be a good follower.
Yes.
Or learn how to serve.
Right.
But one thing I learned, that we always going to be servants.
Well, you never graduate from servanthood.
Never graduate. Even when we are mature and walking that son to a full mature sons and daughter, we're still serving to the Most High God.
Right.
Serving the home.
We're there to serve the people.
Mm-hmm. Like I heard one scenario said that how people love football. You have a lot of people wearing the jersey, but they never play the game. Mm-hmm. And that's how they describe people that don't mature. They're just wearing the jersey, sitting on the pews, or just coming to the function, or just coming to the concert, or just hearing the sermon. But God just don't want you to wear the jersey. He wants you to get in the game.
Yes.
He wants you to play and feel the hurt.
On the sideline.
Mm-hmm. He wants you to get in and feel.
Sideline Christian.
That's right. Feel the game. Feel the hurt. Feel it when you're being stretched. And that's what God is doing, you know, here. People don't know who they are. And sons of God, we know who we are. It's through the process.
But then as you're matured and growing, nobody wants persecution.
Mm-hmm.
We want the blessings of God. We all been there as children. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want the persecution and the trial and tribulation that come with it. We just want to sail on through our Christianity. But if you're going to be become a son of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'll never be developed in the area that God wants you to be developed in your
right.
walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
So trials and tribulations come to make us,
mm-hmm.
you know, into what God has called us to be.
Amen.
You know, our character.
Mm-hmm.
So when he get ready to launch us to where he wants us to be, mm-hmm. into great places and stuff, our character need to be in, you know, being tight.
Yes.
Need to be in tight, because if you still got some cussing in you, or you got some other flaws inside of you, whatever, that's what's going to come out if you go to the high place. Like you say, the gifts will get you there. It'll open the door to it. But if your character, if you have not lied, God, do something with your character, that bad attitude going to come out,
mm-hmm.
that temper going to come out.
That's right.
You know, all that going to come out. Because you know how you didn't lie, God do something with you in the process.
In the process.
And some people get out of the process before time.
Come on now.
You know, so you see a lot of unprocessed people too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't go through the full completion mm-hmm. of the process.
That's right. So in other words, you got to stay in the fire.
Yeah.
Some people jump out the fire too soon.
Right.
And don't be made.
Right.
And don't be thoroughly furnished.
They be halfway. Mm-hmm.
See, one thing I learned, you can't run from the process. You got to stay in the process. And sometimes God will have you in a process with nobody to help you. Because they help you, they will
stop the process.
Stop the process. And so we got to stay in the fire to God.
Yes.
See, that's things that we have learned through the years. Now we can turn around and teach other people, stay in the fire.
And then, plus God, I want you depending on other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God will place people in your life
That's
to
right.
help you for a season.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a time when you're going to have to learn how to trust God for yourself.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, that's what the process is all about, too. That, you know, him raising us up. in this last hour. He was raising us up as sons and daughters to do his will. That's why the world is waiting for we as sons of God to take our place and our position in the earth.
That's right. You know what? We want the power, but we don't want to go through the process.
Right.
So you can't have the power of God unless you've been processed.
Right.
Yes, God.
Not the true power.
That's right. When we operate in the true power of God, where you see signs, wonders, and miracles, that what we've been talking about, you can't have nothing in you that will hinder the flow of God in your life.
And you don't need no kinks.
No kinks in your holes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
That's what the process is all about.
Take them kinks.
We're not saying that, you know, being mature, that you're not going to still have some flaws.
That's right.
Or whatever. But we're saying that in the process, allow God to continue to take what's in you out of you. Because, you know, as we go through our trials and tribulations, there are always some things that slip into our lives during our trial and tribulation. That's why as we go every level, it has to be a cleansing first, or we can go to the next level because something slipped in unknowingly to us because we were walking through some hard places and some rocky places. So, you know, we're not saying that you're going to be flawless.
That's right.
Whatever, but that what you know that's in there need to be taken care of, you need to continue to give it to God. And the more you give it to God, the more he will cleanse you and sanctify you. You know, the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your members that you need to do this, or you need to do that, or you didn't say this right. You need to tend to that because you got that relationship with him. Into me see. That will intimacy me. Into me see. That, you know, it's just like I describe it like it's just like a mirror on the inside of you. Well, you can go to the Holy Spirit with a complaint, but he gonna show you yourself too.
That's right.
Like in that mirror.
Yes.
You know that, you know, you say, well, so and so doing this to me, God, but he's saying, well, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to God, it's not gonna be no one way thing, it's a two way thing.
Two way street.
Because he's gonna show you yourself too if you're open.
Yes.
And then sometimes God does show us ourselves, but we don't want to receive that. Because I'm a Christian and that's not in me. So we walk in that denial, and God let us continue walking to that denial. Until we walk into a block wall, then we'll seek his face. So he'll let you keep going that same way until you decide that you want to change.
That's right.
But you know.
You know, one thing I found out, God would not force himself on you.
No.
He always beckoning for you. He always wooing for you. But God will not go against your will.
Well, he gives us a choice.
It's a choice. Salvation is a choice.
Yeah, you know, we have that's one thing we as human beings have is freedom of choice. We can either choose God or we can choose the devil. So he gives us that choice.
And one thing that I know, like you said, a choice, that we all know right from wrong.
Yes.
And how do I know that? Because God gave all us a conscience.
Right. Even little kids know when they've done wrong, they go hide.
That's right. Even that's right. You have a conscience. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So God gave all of us a conscience.
Yeah. You think about Adam and Eve when they did wrong or whatever, they'll find out they had did. They like little kids, they went and hid. They had a conscience.
My God.
They knew something happened to them, you know, that their spirit had left them.
And God gave all of us a conscience so we'll know right from wrong.
Right.
We'll know right from wrong. So the thing is, when God begin to deal with your conscience, when God convict you, like I heard T.E.J. said, that's your permission to repent.
Yes.
So that's why we got to keep a healthy conscience, sons of God. Hallelujah. Healthy conscience. You know, what is a healthy conscience? A healthy conscience is having a repenting heart.
Yes.
Yeah, when God revealed you did something wrong, repent. Turn, change, go apologize to that person. Keep a healthy conscience that God will use you to.
Amen.
Yeah, God will use you in a mighty way. And that's how to keep yourself clean. That's how to keep yourself pure, the things that we're talking about. And we got to hate the world. The Bible said, love not the world.
Oh, the things in it.
And the things that we got to hate the world. You know, more
You mean the ways.
Yeah, the ways of the world. Not the people. That's right. Not the people.
But the ways of the world.
The ways of the world and the way the world do things. The way the world operate. Yeah, we operate in a whole different system, a kingdom thing. And that's backwards to the world.
Yes.
Amen. Like the world said harder and the kingdom said give.
Right.
The world said hate. You get back. Revenge. In the kingdom said love.
Yeah,
so we have to keep ourselves
to despitefully use you.
Mm-hmm. So we got to keep ourselves. If you want to know how you should live, go to the Beatitudes or read the epistles. You'll see that Paul, he explained the way that we as Christians should live.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very little. So we see here. All right. And one more thing we're going to discuss, and then we're going to close. See, if you don't know who you are, then the devil, he knows who you are. He'll take advantage of you. So it's important, church and people of God, that we learn and know who we are and whose we are and be all that God called you to be. Because
yeah.
The enemy knows your weakness. You know your weaknesses.
He studied those things.
He's been studying you all your life.
He's our opponent.
That's right. Just like in a military scenario, you find out in a military army, they study their enemy. They know his weaknesses, yes, and how to attack him. And the enemy the same way. He studied you. He know. And if you have pride in you, ego in you, you have arrogance or any sin, the enemy will exploit it. He is an opportunist.
Yes.
And he's looking for an opportunity to pounce on you. Uh-huh. So when you begin to, when you don't know who you are, the enemy know your weaknesses. So when you know who you are, as you mature, you begin to cover the weakness. You know what it is to keep the cracks out of your armor. And so we see here, so he knows that. So when it comes to getting in the place in God, everything around you have to line up.
Yes.
Amen. When you come in a line, we've been talking about coming in alignment with the things of God and coming in line with God. Everything around you have to line up.
Yes.
Sons of God, there are people that don't like foolishness. They don't like stuff that's out of order. Because they know God is order. They don't like things that are unclean, because cleanness is the next to godliness. And so we see him. So everything around you have to line up. The enemy have to line up. Right? In 2 Corinthians, we're going to close with 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant to his devices.
Amen.
So we, you know, sons of God, are not ignorant to Satan's devices, how the enemy operates.
Yes.
See, when we are ignorant to the way the devil operates, he will take advantage of it. You know, one thing I was talking about when people are under influence of stuff like witchcraft or manipulation, things like that. The people who it harms the most is people that don't believe it exists. And that's one of the biggest, the Bible says, don't be ignorant to Satan's devices. Because the enemies operate. We must not forget that this is a real devil. And he don't like us. Amen. He don't like God. The battle between God and the devil, but we got caught in between. Because God love us and the devil hate us. So therefore, the enemies are constantly going to attack, constantly try to find loopholes, try to find cracks in your armor. So they mean that you got to make sure every stone is covered. Amen. So we see him. So therefore, God is calling for the sons of God. Sons of God. So we're going to close with this. When we manifest as sons of God, we walk in the original purpose God created man. Adam was referred in Luke, the son of God, Luke 33:38. See, in his position, he walked in dominion. And that's what God's doing. He's giving us back dominion. It's only through Christ Jesus that we can have dominion on earth. Nothing that we done, not by our righteousness, but his righteousness. Amen. So we hope that you guys was blessed by this podcast, that you heard something that would take you to the next level in the next dimension in you. Pastor Mamie and I, we're going to just say goodbye until the next time, and God bless.